Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
You're failing at your MMA career. You're failing here before you've even gotten started. So, Jake Hager, listen to me. You broke my arm, and I want a piece of your ass at Revolution.
Yo, you want to get hardcore, you want to get extreme. Well, the Sandman does it by listening to 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain. Which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for February 15th. Happy belated Valentine's Day to all you lovers out there. And all you guys who did what I did and sit home and watched SmackDown. Happy belated Valentine's Day to you, too. We got to see Otis and Mandy. That's all you need. Welcome to the show today. Danger, you're about to say something.
I love Otis.
Otis
poor
is
Otis.
The best.
Poor Otis. I love Otis.
Poor Otis. All right, welcome to the show. Holidays today, real quick, it's Candlemas. It's also National Gumdrop Day, Singles Awareness Day, and Susan B. Anthony Day. Happy 29th birthday to Impact and former WWE superstar Rich Swann. I want you to know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don's Delight Empire Culver. I want to do a special dedication to this show to Big Mike Oliveri, who passed away this past Monday. Big Mike Oliveri is a huge fan of the show. He was listening from the beginning, and a big, huge roller derby fan as well, and he will definitely be missed. I want to let you know you can join us March 7th for UFC 248, Salvatore Saloon, Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 28. 10 p.m. start time, it'll be hosted by us. There'll be specials all night long. That's March 7th, Salvatore Saloon, Salvatore's at the garage door. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, cityfear.com. Always looking for volunteers. Let's get into this. We got a big guest in the next segment, Chris Harrington. He's the his job title is Vice President of Business Strategies for All Elite Wrestling. You might have heard of the company. They're coming to town in March. If you haven't got your tickets, you might want to get them. I've heard some rumors that tickets are selling like crazy.
And all you have to do is go to Ticketmaster. You can see that there's not much available.
Yeah. So you got to get your seats to All Elite Wrestling coming here March 18th. You cannot miss it. We're going to talk with the Vice President, Chris Harrington. You might know him better as Mookie. Some do.
You forgot to mention Rochester native.
Rochester native as well. And also the creator of WrestleNomics.
Yes.
Which he's been on the show a few times, and he sat in here for a few weeks. I remember so I'm excited to have him in the next segment. But before we get too far, I want to talk a little bit about wrestling because this past week. And I'm going to start off with, does Becky Lynch taste good? The reason I ask that is because Shayna Baszler went to town on eating her, or started eating her on Monday Night Raw.
I did not know Shayna Baszler was a vampire. I didn't know they were bringing back that gimmick.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that gimmick? Or is it she just wanted to, bite her ear off or something? She was doing Mike Tyson, right?
Well, she was doing, she bit her in the neck because it's easily hideable with the fact that she didn't actually bite her. That was definitely a blood capsule, unlike the old days when they would have actually used real blood. But that was different. I called it 30 seconds before it happened, though, that Shayna Baszler was going to attack her.
Well, you knew she was showing up sometime.
Yeah.
It was shocking. I will say that. It they definitely... You know, and then of course they, you know, Stone Cold Becky Lynch just, you know, had to shrug everyone's help off and take off in the ambulance. She drove, obviously she drove herself to the hospital and back by herself.
Does she have a license that, that is good for that?
I don't know, but
I mean, we saw in NXT that some of the UK guys don't have licenses.
Am I seeing them do like Stone Cold Steve Austin things with her?
They are, but they're also doing things that are slowly going to turn her heel.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, I know that I've heard rumors of that, but it's like,
but they can't turn her heel against Shayna Baszler because Shayna Baszler is, I mean, she's just a heel.
She's just naturally a heel. I thought it was weird how they had her bite her. Like,
yeah, I don't. I think it's really weird because that's not her. You know? She's this big badass. You know that she just beats the daylights out of everybody. Why did she need to bite her?
Yeah, it just didn't make sense.
They wanted the graphic.
Yeah,
they want to be able to put it in black and white on YouTube,
and then like immediately after, like, they show her where she goes in for the bite. Then afterwards, they show like most of the blood coming from the right side of her neck, and we all know that's not really where they portrayed her to being bit. So it didn't look realistic anyway. So I mean, it just kind of didn't have the right feel for me.
No, it didn't. But you know, it's the beginning. I mean, obviously she came back and cut a promo later after she drove herself back from the hospital in the ambulance. I want to just warn kids out there. There was nothing legit in that. That was definitely a blood pack in the mouth there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So you know, without, but you know,
but I also mean, warn kids if you see something like that from like the 1980s, it was legit and it was real blood.
Yeah. Well, nobody. No, but they would have went for the forehead first.
Yes.
Yeah. There was definitely. I saw this great time killer on the internet about people, the six worst blading jobs in the history of wrestling.
Well, you know how they used to do the bleeding from internally, right?
They
would actually draw blood from themselves and put it into a condom and tie it off and then bite it.
And they bite it in their mouth.
They put it in their mouth and bite it during the match.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much work for me. I would rather just get ketchup in the condom or something, you know? Or, you know, just make, you know, I don't know.
Realistic, baby. Yeah. That's what we lack.
222-1280, star 12 is the number we've got on the line. Mike from Rochester. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing good. None of us have been eaten by Shayna Baszler yet, so we're good.
No. I think Paul Heyman must have watched some old Freddie Blassie tapes and said, oh, I got an idea. We'll have Shayna Baszler bite Becky Lynch.
Yeah, you can watch some old YouTube. Watch Freddie Blassie sharpen his teeth with a file.
Right. I agree with you guys on there that's not Shayna Baszler's character, but I just think I'm hoping that's just a one-time thing and that's not going to be continually.
Her new manager is Gangrel.
Yeah, let's hope that. Yeah, I don't need her to be a newest member of the Brood.
Comes out with a chalice and everything. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to call up actually about the Otis thing last night. I had a feeling that's where they were going because I remember a couple weeks ago where Dolph Ziggler like squished. I think he had like a pie or a cake or whatever.
I think it was a fruit cake made by Otis's mom.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly, and it's one of those things where it builds to a match, and I guess it's fine. Otis is such a great character. I just hope that when this is all said and done, he becomes like even more over because they got something special with him.
Yeah, I mean he's a tag wrestler. He does the worm or whatever, you know.
He's got personality.
He does. Yeah, I mean he's kind of a dumb brute, you know, and. Was it Steaks and Shakes or whatever? You know,
yeah,
I mean,
Steaks and Weights. Yeah,
that's it. Steaks and Weights. So, I like him, but I mean, he's a tag team wrestler, though, first and foremost. So it's like,
But you can use him to build up the tag team because obviously they're going to have a Rude Ziggler versus Heavy Machinery match over this at some point.
Oh yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
maybe they'll have like a Mandy on a pole match or something.
Leave Vince Russo ideas out of this. Okay, we don't need Vince Russo ideas.
No, but you know what's funny? Our guest last week, Justin Credible, does a podcast with Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Every week, and it's like, oh my goodness! I told him to send it our best to Vince because I mean, Vince doesn't know this, but when he was on the show the last time, he got in an argument with a guy on our show who ended up becoming Luke Harper. So, but Luke, at the time he was just a local wrestler, but
right.
he was on the show. You know, what was he again? What was his name on the show?
Rico.
I think I remembered his name.
Yeah, Rico like got into it with Vince Russo on the air, and I bet you Vince Russo has no idea that was Luke Harper. So
well, true story. I actually once got into an argument with Vince Russo on the Rusty Observer Live. This was like years ago. He was on there with the guy who runs Rusty Observer Live, Brian Alvarez, and I argued with him about when he was still running TNA, he was still booking TNA, and I basically argued about how he was doing things and how he was going to kill the company. And he was like, oh, you're just a stupid mark and all that stuff. And then everything I said ended up being right. So so I've had my issues with Vince Russo as well.
Well, Vince Russo is very outspoken. And I mean, but you know what? He had his hits. He has misses, you know? So, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like everybody else.
Yeah, and maybe his moment's come and gone. I still think he's dying to get back in charge and do some more. But that's just me.
I know
that he still talks with McMahon. So who knows?
Right. And as far as, like, tomorrow's NXT TakeOver Portland, I'm pretty excited about that show. I mean, it looks like a pretty killer card on paper. And I want your opinion on something. Do you think that they're going to have Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne win the tag team titles? Because I saw those segments on NXT, and I thought those segments were awesome. And I think they need to win the belts.
What, you mean their trip to Portland?
Yeah,
riding the golf cart or whatever.
Yes, all of that was so good, dude, because Matt Riddle is like the greatest Matt Riddle. It's the best way I could describe it. And Pete Dunne is a good straight man. And to me, everything they do just works.
Pete Dunne was great at giving the straight man face in every single thing they did.
Yes.
Know? I know. I think they're going to win, of course. I mean, why else would they win that tournament if they weren't going to take those titles?
There's a very good chance.
You would think, but you just never know, though. That's all. I'm hoping that's where they're going with this, is that they win the titles. I think Adam Cole's going to beat Ciampa. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I think Cole's going to be the only Undisputed Era guy with the belt.
I will say this. I would not mind Pete Dunne versus Matt Riddle in a feud. I would not have a problem with that.
I think it's a little early for that, though.
I do, too. That's why I think they're going to win the titles.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit early to split them off. And the other thing I was going to call you about was, do you think Charlotte Flair is going to be on that show?
Oh, yeah.
To get involved in a Rhea match? Because I think that's almost inevitable.
Well, I mean, 100%. Rhea's been at Raw ever since they started teasing this. So why not to have Charlotte there come out? Charlotte owes a little revenge to both those ladies for what they did to her.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But, I mean, I would love, you know, I mean, listen, you know, I kind of dig what Charlotte's doing. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm excited that if she wins, she will be part of NXT, and she's embracing that. So,
right.
I think WWE, that's what they want to do, is they want to move slowly but surely, move more major stars back to the NXT because it's on an even platform. And I think, you know, who knows? I mean, we've already got a few down there. I mean, but some of the stars that are there are doing great, like Matt Riddle. I feel terrible for Matt Riddle because because of his trying to get himself over in social media, he became, you know, the enemy of Vince McMahon. And
you know what the worst part is? Vince tells them to cut it out, and he gets pushed by other people in NXT to keep doing it.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why I wonder if it'll work.
Yeah, every house show they have him come out and like call out Goldberg or call out Brock Lesnar again. Yeah.
Yes, and he does the spirit jackhammer, and the crowd starts chanting, Riddle, Riddle, the Goldberg cadence.
Until he finally gets backstage with Lesnar or Goldberg, and both of them, you know, give him the cold shoulder and tell him to keep their name out of his Twitter. I don't know. I think we're going to see some more major stars moving, and NXT will be in the draft when that happens eventually. But, man, we got to go to break because we got to get Chris Harrington, vice president of AEW, on with us in the next segment. Then thank you
Absolutely,
for calling,
guys.
Man.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you too. 222-1280 Star 12. Remember, you can text or you can call if you have a question to talk with the vice president of All Elite Wrestling, who's up next, or you can also text us. We can ask a question if you want to text us at 222-1280. But that's on the flip side of this break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Now, I must admit, at first, this name that you have all given me, I was not so sure of. But it has grown on me, and I will tell you why. I have come to realize how difficult it is for all of you to truly speak from your hearts. How difficult it is for all of you to truly make difficult decisions. And so I am here to speak your truths. I am here to make the tough decisions for you. I am here to lead us all into the future.
Maybe you could be Drew McIntyre's advocate.
That's a very good word. That's a very good word.
Maybe MVP could be my Paul Heyman.
A much better looking version, perhaps.
Let me tell you the difference between, you know, Brock Lesnar and I. I don't need an external brain thinking for me. I don't need somebody talking for me. And I sure as hell don't need a business partner kissing my ass like you.
You want to put your hands on the man? You want to sink your little rat's teeth into my flesh just to get my attention? That's how it's going to be. Well, Shayna, baby, mission accomplished.
I'm seeing a lot of confusion in these chubby Whataburger faces, so let me provide some clarification for you.
Wow, that's sacrilegious.
Yo, what's up? This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and you're listening to the, oh, good God, the Pain Clinic. Bang.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Going to get to our guests real quick. Joining us is a Rochester native, founder of WrestleNomics, and currently All Elite Wrestling's Vice President of Business Strategies. Let's welcome Chris Harrington to the show. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's been a while since we talked to you. So, man, it's been a while. So, congratulations on the gig. I guess it was over a year ago that you got brought in as the vice president there.
Yeah, I started working with Tony Khan on the project that eventually is now known as All Elite Wrestling in about August of 2018, and worked through a lot of the logistics and helped him out with some of the planning for the project. And then as we rolled out and formally announced ourselves in January of 2019, I was there with the company, and, you know, it's really exciting to see it just grow from something we had put on a piece of paper all the way to, you know, something that you can see every single night on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. on TNT and streamed worldwide on, you know, in Canada and UK, France, Germany, and lots of other places, and have pay-per-views and big roster of people and tour around the whole country, which is pretty exciting for someone who never thought they would work in the wrestling business in a professional capacity.
Chris, how did you end up working with Tony Khan on this? What got you two guys together to put stuff on paper?
Well, you mentioned the WrestleNomics brand, which was my hobby, professional hobby, I guess you could call it, where I podcasted. I did a lot of research. I spent a lot of time writing and analyzing professional wrestling financials and statistics and public filings, legal filings, all these sort of things. And I carved out a very specific niche in a field that would not excite many, many people. But it was something that caught the eye of Tony Khan. And for those people that don't know Tony Khan's father, Shadid Khan, he owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. He owns the Fulham Football Club. He owns a large automotive parts maker named Flexengate. And Tony is very involved with the sporting teams, especially Fulham, but also the Jaguars. And so he's a big analytics guy. And so when he started his interest in doing this kind of wrestling group, he reached out to me on Twitter and said, "Hey, Chris, would you like to work on a project for me?" And I had never talked to Tony before that. I don't even follow sports really, so I didn't even know very much about the Jaguars or anything. So it was an unusual kind of a reach out where, you know, I didn't know him ahead of time, but he had been reading some of the stuff that I had published. He had followed it for, you know, in the wrestling blogs. Occasionally they would quote me or reference what I did. And since it was in that same niche of analytics, which is really his passion, he loves numbers, he loves statistics, and he's someone who has been very successful in taking those pieces and integrating them into Fulham, into the Jaguars, and other businesses that he works on. So it was just we both were passionate wrestling fans, but we also both kind of enjoyed looking at it from a numerical standpoint. And so we connected and we got along, and there was an opportunity for us to kind of start seeing which hurdles we could knock down and whether this could become a reality.
I was going to mention, when you were in Rochester, it was a long time ago, you actually used to participate in the ring. Or maybe it wasn't you, but it was someone a lot like you. I think Al Simar was his name, and he came out to the Price is Right theme. Yeah, so it's like it's a different world being on the business side of this, I'm sure. But, I mean, isn't it crazy? And now you're on tour with them too as well, right?
Yeah, I do go to every live event. So, you know, you're on the road anywhere from 50 to 52 weeks a year. Just this past week, you know, we were coming out of Austin, Texas. Week before that, we were in Huntsville, Alabama. Next week, we're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, then Kansas City, and then, of course, the pay-per-view in Chicago. So every week, you're moving around, and it's completely different, of course, being in more of a executive staff role than, of course, being a wrestler. But at the same time, it helps you, you know, you can understand little bits of what it's like to see what the guys are going through as wrestlers, to know kind of what are their concerns. But, you know, a professional company versus an indie company is so different. But what you really do bond over is that you meet so many guys that were passionate about wrestling from decades ago and did it for no money at all and no fame, no interest, but because they loved wrestling. And so that kind of passion and that kind of authenticity is something that really just seeps all through All Elite Wrestling. And so I like to think that my time as a manager and as a wrestler just is, you know, a little bit of my proof card that I've cared about wrestling for a long, long time. I'm not here just to, you know, kind of jump in and try to understand this company from afar, but it was something that I've cared about for a long time. So it's fun to, you know, see it again. It's not like I'm out there ever taking bumps or doing anything else. I'm not, I would never reach the level of what these guys are doing. We hire, you know, the creme of the creme. So it's a lot of fun, and it's bizarre because every now and then you do cross paths again with people that you had met in other facets of your life. Like, for instance, the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny. I had at least met Jesse of that trio there, Pepper Parks,
yep,
from wrestling many, many years ago. And there's other people, you know, Colin Delaney was on our show when we were in Cleveland a few weeks ago and was able to wrestle at a match that was on AEW Dark. And I've known Colin Delaney for 20 years. So yeah, it was pretty exciting, you know, sometimes to see these people that you've known in many different facets of your life and to actually see them on the big screen or to see them incorporated into your show. And then, you know, most everybody calls me Chris, but there's a handful of guys that will walk up and still call me Mookie.
Sure.
So it's always funny.
Do you see the Artista? He was in Austin this past week.
I've seen him twice now, because I saw him when we were in Corpus Christi, of course, where I think he works, yep, professionally most of the time. And so we interacted there, and then he did come down to Austin. And after the show, there was something somebody had left the building and there was something left behind, and the Artista had to get it. And so I had to go out and find him while we were ripping everything down. And so I had a chance to sit and talk with him for a few minutes, which was really good.
Very cool. Go ahead.
All right, Chris, this is Furby here. Speaking of Cleveland, I was actually at the show in Cleveland. And one thing I wanted to say is I love the whole intimacy feel of the show. It was something that I've never felt before on a live television show. What's the inner workings, or, you know, what is your plan when you go into every television show?
Well, I think the number one thing is that it's crucial to the EVPs that the people coming to the show enjoy themselves, feel that they have an authentic opportunity to see the stars, but also for us to do something where, you know, we're going to entertain the fans and we're going to respect our audience. And I think we do that through a couple different ways. When you go to a show, you're going to have, of course, an opportunity ahead of the show. Oftentimes we do meet and greets. And so it's a chance for you to, you know, literally get up close, talk with a AEW superstar, which is really fun. And just seeing that interaction there is amazing to me. When we were a couple weeks ago, we had Dustin Rhodes was doing a signing, and he went up and there was a little kid, and the kid said, "Oh, I've never watched wrestling before AEW. It's all I've ever known." And Dustin said something, and he made reference to an earlier, you know, kind of an earlier era. And the kid was just like, "No, I don't know anything about that. I only know AEW." And Dustin took off the glove he had, signed the glove for the kid, and just handed it to him. And it's just like, "Here you go." And I remember talking to Dustin afterwards, and Dustin just said, you know, that's going to be a good memory for that person. It's special for him to know that. And, you know, I was touched that he cared a lot about my character and he cared about coming out to see me here. And I talked to some of the people who were working, kind of staffing that event, other executives, and they were telling me, they're like, I was almost moved to tears because Dustin was so sincere and kind to this person. And it's that kind of attitude that really makes a lot, you know, really, really makes it able for us to be away from our family and our friends for several days and to work so hard on this and, you know, kind of constantly be in the grind of wrestling, is because you do really enjoy seeing people connect with what you're putting on, and also specifically connect with the personalities and the authentic brand that we've built. And what I also love is at the end of the night, we turn off the cameras and a couple of the wrestlers will come out to the ring and they'll throw t-shirts, but they'll talk to the crowd, they'll interact with the crowd. And we have our special moments like we did last week where we had a guy who we had originally met in Corpus Christi, but has come a few other events, who was dressed up like Jesus, and a guy in a Scooby-Doo costume. And they got to wrestle the team of Brandon Cutler and QT Marshall and decide who would win the final match of the night. And whenever you have those kind of incredible, kind of funny moments, almost like you would see at an independent show, but on this big grand scale, it's just so fun because it's so impromptu, it's so improvised, it's so enjoyable that we like to think we're doing that for that audience. That's not for the cameras, that's for those people in that ring and that place there. And television can be so scripted because you have to hit time cues and commercial breaks and whatnot, that it's fun to be able to do kind of a combination of both a television show and a live event where you're able to actually really be changing and messing with things and playing with the audience and interacting and really reacting to what's happening around you. And I think that's one of my favorite things. And I always make it a point every show to go out there and make sure I'm standing in the audience and kind of can capture some of that, because it's so fun to see, you know, a Jon Moxley entrance, or to hear the heat during a Britt Baker interview like we saw this week on the Whataburger.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I just want to say one last thing, and part of my question in there is, it was in no light of anything. I love the feel of the intimacy there. It had that feeling of a big stage independent show where, you know, the whole crowd was, involved. And the biggest thing that caught my eye, and obviously Cody has a huge involvement in AEW, but after his match, he came out in the crowd and he was holding up babies. And that was awesome to see. It just really shows that, you know, he is the man.
You know, I think that all the EVPs really understand that the reason AEW was accepted so quickly was not because the brand name All Elite Wrestling. The reason AEW was accepted so quickly was that Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody, they spent so long building their brand, interacting with the fans, and authentically really connecting with people, doing the signings, doing the interviews, doing the work daddy, as Cody would tell you. And that really just shows in how much they care about wrestling and how much they care about putting their names on the line to, you know, represent this company. But then at the same time, it's so cool to them that, you know, I remember there's that interview where Cody went up to the skybox to attack Jericho when we did the big brawl with the Dippin' Dots and all that. And at one point, Cody just says, you know, there's no invisible line here. I can cross this barricade. I can go up there and do something right now. There's nothing that's going to stop me. And that was really big to him, where it's like there's these things that sometimes people have been told, don't do this, don't do that. And now they're able to say, you know, this is the way to really put this all together in a way that's going to make this crowd excited, and it's going to produce some compelling television too, we think.
So, Chris, how excited are you to bring this all to Rochester in a couple weeks?
So, everybody thinks that this is like some grand plan by Chris Harrington to put together the tour that makes it land in Rochester, New York. And so everywhere I go, everybody's always like, oh, Rochester. Yeah, I see why that one landed on the calendar. But the reality is that when you're planning a big live event show, you have to look all across the nation. You have to deal with all these different factors. You have to find arenas. And from the very, very beginning of AEW, I was doing some heat maps about the demographics and where we saw people buying tickets and where we saw people watching and where people bought merchandise and all the other metrics that we look at in order to kind of understand where we might have a good following. Because if you remember, for months and months, we were talking about All Elite Wrestling, but we didn't produce a lot of shows. So we had to really spend a lot of time trying to say, where do we think we're going to be successful if we went to go run events? And then you have to find places that you can actually run events, because there's a lot of sports teams you're competing with and other events. So we looked, and upstate New York was off the charts in terms of fan density and opportunity. And so we said, we've got to get to upstate New York. And Tony Khan said, we've got to get to upstate New York. And so we put that bug in our live event director's ear. And Raphael Morphy looked and looked and looked and was able to make it work for us to be there on March 18th. And we could not be more excited because we not only have a lot of guys and talent that is coming from, you know, Canada and from New York, but also we're just so excited because it is going to be our New York debut. It will be the first show held in New York State.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a big deal. Yeah.
Everyone's unhappy. New York City's unhappy about it. Buffalo's unhappy about it. But, hell, we're in Rochester. We love it. Bring it on.
Well, it's great because we know we're going to have Canadian fans there. We know we're going to have fans driving up from, you know, Erie and Cleveland. We know we're going to have, of course, Syracuse, Buffalo, Rochester fans. But we're going to also have a lot of people who just are in the area who are ready to fill that arena. And Rochester has always been a terrific wrestling town and has been a place that, you know, we think that it is exactly the sort of market that we want to reach. And that's something that we've done a lot of, is that we've gone to a lot of markets that, you know, when we went to Charleston, West Virginia, they haven't had television, wrestling television broadcast there in like 20 plus years. So sometimes we're going back to these places that have been overlooked. Sometimes we're going back to these places that are the first time going to. And a lot of times we're going back to places that we know love wrestling and that they're going to come out and they're going to support All Elite Wrestling. And we it was one of our very best. The ticket momentum in Rochester blew everybody away from a standpoint of, you know, we were putting tickets on sale, I think, at the same time as we did our Newark show. And it was just like, that was a terrific week of ticket sales with Newark and with Rochester. And so the guys, what they care about the most is getting to their arena, seeing the fans that are passionate and being able to perform in front of them. And the only thing that has everybody scared is, of course, the weather. And, you know, that's because a lot of them live down in Florida and have become soft. And those of us who live in Minnesota or upstate New York know that it's possible to drive in that slushy stuff they call snow, and you'll be just fine.
Now, this Double B here, Chris. I have to say that I think we're gonna wow everybody with the crowd that you get here, as you were saying. I've liked watching how you kind of took everything as a group from basically nothing and built storylines as it's gone on, and you add people to the roster over and over. So perhaps the sky's the limit, but where do you see AEW going over the next year, 5 years, and so on?
Well, you know, what's great about our relationship with Warner and Turner has been that they have made a solid commitment to us. And so recently we came out with an announcement that All Elite Wrestling has been renewed, has been extended on TNT, and that we have an agreement through 2023 that we're going to be starting additional programming that will be airing on the Warner Media Turner channels later this year. And that to us is such a huge ability to plan for the future, because if you know what you're doing for a television direction for years to come, it really gives you the confidence to say to people, hey, this is why this company is going to be around. This is why this company matters. And this is why the directions and the stories that we're building, we don't have to hotshot it from week to week, but instead we can carefully craft things that pay off in a meaningful way. And that's something that I think we really are proud of, is that ability for us to say, we're not doing 50 different pay-per-views a year. We're doing, right now we have our big four tent poles. We're not doing, 1,000 house shows a year. Right now we're really focusing on this product that is being aired live and also recorded and being redistributed around the world. And so obviously the next steps for that are always looking at what the economics and the climate is going to be around how can we get to more places and run really excellent full shows. How can we produce content that is going to continue to engage and interest the fans that we have? And then, of course, find new fans and recapture the fans that were lapped. And then what are the new markets you want to go into? For us, we've started off very heavily as a North American product because we recognize, A, that's where our television partner is, and B, that that's where so many fans of professional wrestling live, and you have such a great opportunity in the U.S. to tour around. But clearly, and Cody said this and others have said this, we want to get into other international markets. We want to bring the AEW brand there. So that's going to be really important to us. I think we pride ourselves on the merchandising we do and just that opportunity that when you go over to, you know, AEWmerch.com and see all the cool things we're putting out, we are constantly pumping out new things, and we're finding better and better ways to distribute and get them to people. So, you know, I'm excited that you can go there and get a Moxley eye patch now. And I think that's the coolest thing, that we're constantly innovating and getting ready for not just, you know, T-shirts, but it's other licenses and other things that are happening. So clearly, of course, if you look at the pillars of kind of wrestling licensing, there's a lot of other opportunities, a lot of categories we haven't yet, you know, announced. And I think the great thing about that is that when you do things judiciously, you can execute them well, which means you spend time planning so that when you put out these really cool objects in the future, people are going to get really excited, and they're going to see that you crafted it with care, you crafted it with passion, and you crafted it with, you know, the fan in mind to sell those things too. So for me, as a guy who's always looking at the numbers, of course I'm going to talk about the economic benefits, but, you know, the good things about what the future of AEW holds is more incredible stars. And we like to think we're putting people on television now that would normally go into other companies and kind of be lost in the mix for years and years. So when you got guys like Jungle Boy or MJF or Darby Allin, you know, these guys are so young, so talented, and are new to so many fans of professional wrestling. And we're putting them front and center on our show because we think that they're incredible, talented people. And when you mix them up with a Jericho or a Moxley or a Cody or a Kenny, you're able to say, wow, look at how much they can grow by that osmosis of working together with this other top talent versus, you know, putting them in a completely different shelf and then not letting them interact with people that have so much experience and so much to teach and so much to give in the ring.
Okay, so Chris, I apologize. We're up against it. We got a break. I'm so sorry about this. But Chris, Brody Lee, will we see him debut in Rochester?
You know, Mr. Lee is a good friend of mine. I hope someday that he finds the very best place for him to be putting his excellent skills out there.
I appreciate that. Chris, thank you so much. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We had a heavy load of ads today. So thank you so much, man. We cannot wait. March 18th. Hopefully we'll connect. We'll meet up with you when you're in town, man, because we're gonna be there in force. So
AEWTix.com. Still some ticks left. Have a good time, everybody.
Thank you very much. All right, 222-1280, Star 1280. We got to go to break. We are against it. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. We've got a minute left, guys. A minute. What's the biggest news that I missed? I have an idea.
Takeover tomorrow.
Takeover is tomorrow. That's right. Do not miss Takeover. We're going to see maybe the
start of the end of the Undisputed Era, possibly?
It possibly could, because who knows? I mean, what else is going on? We have The Rock's daughter signed with the WWE Performance Center. We also had
WrestleMania 37 is going to be in the new Inglewood, California stadium for the Rams and Chargers.
I know where I'll be March 28th, 2021.
All right. That's right. And we'll see nothing else besides that. But, Ben, thank you so much to Chris Mookie Harrington. And that's the name's familiar at all. He's from Rochester.
He's already retweeted our tweet to him. So
beautiful. So he's going to be here March 18th.
With the ticket link, he's definitely a company man.
That's cool. We're going to get out of here. I want to thank Brian. I want to thank Furby. I want to thank Danger Boy, Peter as well, and I'm the Cash Man. We're going to get out of here. But, man, crazy, crazy show. Next week we're going to have Vinny Paulino is going to come up in the studio with us and hang out. You might know him from the comedy club in town. He's going to come. He's got a little thing going on next weekend here in town. ESW is coming to Rochester. We'll talk more about that next week, folks. We got to get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks. Check us out online at thepainclinic.net and be our friend on Facebook.